Your six-year-old just threw a cereal box across the kitchen, not because they're manipulative or spoiled, but because their nervous system is screaming for help. Here's what most parenting advice misses. The behavior isn't the problem. It's a window into something deeper. Dr. Becky Kennedy's approach has captivated over 1.5 million parents and earned Oprah's endorsement, not because it offers quick fixes, but because it addresses what's actually happening inside our children. When we stop seeing tantrums as problems to eliminate and start viewing them as communication from an overwhelmed nervous system, everything shifts. This isn't permissive parenting that lets children run wild. It's something far more powerful, a framework that honors children's emotional reality while maintaining firm boundaries. What if your child isn't giving you a hard time, but having a hard time? This single reframing changes everything. When your daughter hits her brother, traditional thinking sees a bad kid who needs punishment. But what if she's a good kid struggling with feelings too big for her body to contain? The distinction matters because shame never leads to lasting change. It just teaches children to hide their struggles. Consider how this plays out in real time. Your child screams, "You're the worst mom!" after learning she can't join her sister's birthday lunch. The words sting. But beneath that outburst lies sadness and jealousy, emotions she hasn't yet learned to name or manage. When we respond to the pain underneath rather than the hurtful words, we teach emotional literacy. We show children how to recognize what's happening inside them, which is the foundation for self-regulation. The result? Children who feel deeply understood and parents who stop second-guessing every decision. Childhood experiences wire neural pathways that determine whether we approach struggles with self-compassion or self-criticism. Harsh parental judgment teaches us we're fundamentally flawed, patterns that repeat until someone consciously interrupts them. Breaking free requires, what's my most generous interpretation of what just happened? When we consistently reflect that children are good inside even when struggling, they develop the self-empathy that makes real behavioral change possible. This isn't just feel-good psychology, it's neuroscience. We must feel worthy to change, not change to feel worthy. Parents feel trapped between being fun or firm, between validating feelings and maintaining boundaries. But healthy relationships thrive on multiplicity, holding two seemingly opposite truths simultaneously. You can love your children deeply and desperately need time alone. You can be grateful for your family while envying friends with more support. You can be a good parent who sometimes yells. This principle transforms power struggles. Take the classic jacket battle. Traditional thinking creates opposition. Either you win or they win. But two things are true opens a third path. You acknowledge their reality. You feel your body doesn't get cold. While maintaining your boundary, I'm worried about you being cold. When children feel truly seen, the struggle shifts from me versus you to me and you against a problem. Maybe you bring the jacket along, or maybe safety requires wearing it. You have to wear a jacket, and you're allowed to be mad about it. You're not dismissing their feelings or backing down. You're holding both realities with equal respect. Functional families require clearly defined roles. Parents establish safety through boundaries. Children explore through experiencing emotions. When these roles blur, the system breaks down. Boundaries aren't what we tell kids not to do. They're what we tell kids we will do. Please stop hitting your brother isn't a boundary because it requires the child's cooperation. I won't let you hit is a boundary because you can enforce it by intervening. Effective boundaries embody parental authority without depending on children still developing self-regulation. Parents also serve as emotional caretakers through validation and empathy. Validation acknowledges a child's experience as real. When your child sobs because their block tower fell, it's just blocks, you can rebuild it, dismisses their reality. You worked so hard on that tower and now it's down, that feels so frustrating, validates their experience. Empathy goes deeper. It's understanding their perspective from genuine curiosity. When we offer empathy, children feel someone is on their team, making overwhelming emotions manageable. Boundaries show that overwhelming feelings won't spiral forever. Someone bigger will contain what they cannot. This reframes difficult moments. When your child has a tantrum, you're not dealing with a bad kid. You're both simply doing your jobs. Early years create a blueprint children carry into every relationship. Even without conscious memory, their bodies remember these experiences, forming impressions about safety, threat, acceptance, and shame. Through daily interactions, children answer, "Am I lovable? Will I be heard? What happens when I'm overwhelmed?" Attachment theory explains this. Babies are born driven to connect with caregivers for survival. When parents respond to distress with validation rather than dismissal, children learn vulnerability is safe. Secure attachment enables independence. The more connected children feel, the more confidently they explore. Internal family systems offers another lens. Our minds naturally contain multiple parts: brave, anxious, confident, and none are inherently bad. Using parts language helps both adults and children experience difficult emotions without being consumed. Say a jealous part of you is really strong right now, rather than you're being jealous. Children learn which parts are acceptable based on parental responses. Those met with connection seem good. Those met with rejection seem bad and must be hidden. Distinguishing between behaviors, which may need correction, and feelings, which need validation, matters profoundly. "Don't be jealous" teaches suppression, but "it's normal to feel jealous. A new baby is a big change" teaches all feelings are acceptable, creating resilience that echoes through every future relationship. Neuroscience reveals remarkable brain plasticity. Parenting interventions work equally well from toddlers to preteens. The most significant improvements in struggling children often come from parent coaching rather than child therapy, because children's emotion regulation develops in relation to parental emotional maturity. Your growth directly impacts your child's development. Perfect parenting doesn't exist. What matters isn't avoiding ruptures, but how we respond afterward. Repair creates connection after disconnection. When we revisit difficult moments, we change the memory in their bodies by layering support after criticism, understanding after misunderstanding. Effective repair involves apologizing, reflecting on what happened, taking ownership without blaming your child, and sharing what you'll do differently. Imagine you've yelled at your child for spilling milk. Later, when calm, you might say, "When the milk spilled, I yelled, and I saw that scared you. I'm sorry. You didn't deserve that. Next time, I'll take a deep breath first. Can you tell me how you felt?" This repair transforms the rupture's impact, teaching your child that relationships heal, mistakes don't define us, and taking responsibility is strength. Kennedy introduces Connection Capital, an emotional bank account where positive interactions create reserves of safety and worthiness. Parents constantly spend this capital when enforcing rules, so they must actively build reserves through connection. Her highest return strategy is PNP time, play no phone time, 10 to 15 minutes of completely phone-free, child-directed play where your undivided attention communicates that children are safe, important, and loved. Key elements: give it a name, limit to 10 to 15 minutes, remove all distractions, let the child choose, and focus on noticing rather than directing. Kennedy also recommends emotional vaccination, strengthening children before difficult moments. Before screen time, "I know stopping will be hard later. Let's practice deep breaths now." She introduces the feeling bench, the metaphorical place where children sit with difficult emotions, needing a bench warmer who validates feelings rather than fixing them. When your child is disappointed about not making the team, resist cheering them up immediately. Instead, "You really wanted to make that team. It feels so disappointing." Amid parenting logistics, playfulness is crucial. Silliness and laughter physiologically reduce stress hormones while signaling safety. These connection-building strategies aren't extras. They're the foundation that makes all other techniques effective. New parenting information often triggers guilt, creating a vicious cycle. We want to change, judge ourselves for past mistakes, feel distress, turn away from change to escape these feelings, and continue old patterns. The solution lies in remembering you are good inside, even when you yell, miss bedtime, or respond impatiently. Self-acceptance enables growth through a powerful paradox. Feeling good inside allows change. We cannot change from guilt or shame. Our bodies divert all energy to escaping these feelings rather than trying new approaches. The key is holding two truths simultaneously. I've done things I'm not proud of, and I am good inside. Your behaviors don't define you. You're not your latest yell. You're a good person who has yelled. Grounding in your internal goodness allows honest responsibility. Change happens gradually, with perfect days and setbacks. The goal isn't perfection, but progress. You become the cycle breaker, changing the direction for generations. This approach asks you to see beneath the surface, hold space for big feelings, and stay sturdy when your child cannot. In return, it offers children who feel secure, understood, and capable, children who know they are good inside even when they're having a hard time. That knowledge becomes the foundation for resilience, empathy, healthy relationships, and a life lived with authenticity and courage.